Blog Talk Radio.
Episode we have here of Suspense Radio one-on-one in partnership with Partners in Crime Blog Tours. We are Suspense Radio, and I am your host, John Robb. Today's show, we are going to have guest Amy Sojai on. It is her first blog stop here on her new Partners in Crime Tour, so we're very honored to be able to be the number one kickoff for her. We had her on for her last book, Lost and Found, and she's going to be talking about her next book, Hide and Seek, in her series. So sit back, relax, and enjoy, because Suspense Radio one-on-one starts right now.
Welcome to my nightmare. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
So welcome back, everybody, here to the show. We are honored to be able to have Amy Sojai on the show again. Her latest book is called Hide and Seek, the second in her series. So, Amy, thank you so much for coming on today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having me.
So, and we talked a little off the air. We had you on to talk about Lost and Found, which was your debut book in the series. And now you're coming out with Hide and Seek, the second one in your series. Give everybody who's not really familiar with you and your work a little bit about Hide and Seek and kind of, you know, what the book's about behind the scenes.
Sure. Well, I'm an animal behavior consultant in my other life, and so with a specialty in dog and cat behavior. So I call my thrillers with bite, because they always feature animals. And in the September Day thriller series, which is my animal behaviorist lead character, she has a service dog named Shadow, and he has his own chapters where he speaks in dog viewpoint. And so this is kind of the premise behind the September Day series. And as you said, I was honored to be on your program just a little over a year ago with my debut, Lost and Found, that set everything up, where a young autistic boy with his service dog were lost in a blizzard, and September had to come to the rescue with that. That took place right before Thanksgiving, and Hide and Seek, the sequel, takes place just about a week before Christmas, so they happen right after each other, where one ends, the other one picks up. And in Hide and Seek, there is a strange animal contagion going around the community in North Texas where the book is set. And the animals seem to have Alzheimer-like symptoms. And then suddenly some of the people start having early onset Alzheimer's. And September wonders, you know, is there a connection there? Meanwhile, a bad guy from her past resurfaces and causes all kinds of mayhem. And so she's basically racing a clock to try to stop the contagion from spreading. She finds out where it's originating from and has to stop that, but the bad guy is trying to get in her way. And so it's really, the reviewers have called it a roller coaster ride and a lot of great fun. In the middle of all this, her service dog, Shadow, of course, is helping out her personal trained cat, her best kitty buddy, is supposedly afflicted with this same thing. And so you've got the trained cat aspect of it. Her cat goes missing, is catnapped by the bad guy. So there's all kinds of things going on, and everything comes together at the end with, if you see the book cover, a cover is in flames behind, and she has to escape a flaming building with the help of Shadow, her service dog. She suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of her experience 8 years ago with this bad guy who's now come back into her life. And so it's great fun to write, particularly the animal characters, but I think people will enjoy this whether they love animals or not.
Now, you say you kind of set the second book only maybe about 3 weeks after the first book. Now, was that something that was conscious just because that's something that's a little bit, non-conventional, where a lot of authors will go ahead and try to do things in real time and then, you know, make up kind of the backstory that happened within the time frame that maybe the reader missed. Why did you decide to kind of just, you know, space it out really, you know, really quickly and not really have that kind of lull time between the two books with your characters?
It's a conscious effort, because in the first book, Lost and Found, the service dog, Shadow, is 9 months old. He's a service dog in training. And with dogs age so much more quickly than people do. I can't have it take place two or three years down the road if I want the dog to still be a young dog. And so that was a very conscious decision. So in Hide and Seek, he's only 10 months old. And in the next book I'm working on now, which continues the story, will probably take place, Hide and Seek takes place in December. That one will probably take place in February to celebrate the dog's birthday, and there will be other things going on at the same time. So, yes, it's a conscious choice, because I don't want the dog to age out of the series too quickly. I'm hoping very much that readers will continue to embrace the series as they have. I've had terrific reviews. A lot of people are loving this, starting to pick up traction, and I don't want to have to face having a very old dog too early and having to deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. It's something that I never really thought about, that when you're writing about animals, that you have to kind of be conscious, because they are, 7 or 8 years difference with dogs and with cats. So you do have to be a little bit more conscious of that and the storytelling. So I just never thought of it that way. That was interesting. You learn something new every day, don't you?
Right. And it's fun for me, because having an animal character who never speaks and yet has chapters in his own viewpoint. So the dog character, Shadow, is a German Shepherd, and the way he perceives his world is through not just sight the way people do, but sounds and scent that people aren't able to detect. And so it's almost like having superpowers, because he can figure out things that he can hear the other side of a telephone conversation. He may not understand it, but because he hears it, then the reader gets to hear both sides of the conversation. So that's a real kind of a neat trick that you can do. And also, the readers have commented that they're learning a lot vicariously about dog and cat behavior. You know, oh, I didn't know that's why my dog did that, or I didn't know that cats could be trained, or, you know, whatever aspect it might be. In Hide and Seek, September has decided to train Shadow to track lost pets, because in the first book, that was a problem. The tracking dogs that she had located to help find the little boy, and Shadow was with him at the time, they hadn't been trained to track other animals, and so they couldn't help her. So this was the next step in his evolution of training. He's been trained to track lost animals, and so when her cat goes missing, she can tell the dog, track the cat, and that can lead them to the bad guy. So there are a lot of interesting ways you can use animal characters in your fiction to kind of ramp up the thrills as well,
right,
because the dog knows that the bad guy is, maybe he's a good actor and the people don't detect it, but the dog knows and the hackles come up, and that's a cue for readers to say, ooh, something's not right.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is, of course, whenever you're dealing with animals, whether it's dogs or cats or even, you know, ones that have been trained, there's always that level of unpredictability. You never know what's going to happen. Of course, whenever you watch, like, you know, Jack Hanna on TV or something like that, the animal sometimes doesn't want to cooperate. It's having a bad day. So how are you kind of able to handle that, kind of getting into the animal's mind to give them that bad day, just like humans have, same thing.
Oh,
they just act different.
Sure, and in the first book, Lost and Found, kind of the catchphrases I used for the book were, an aunt searches for her lost nephew and dooms her sister. A mom gambles a miracle will cure and not kill her child. And a dog finds his true purpose when he disobeys. And see, a service dog needs to know when to disobey. You know, if you have a guide dog for the blind and the handler, owner, tells the dog forward and somebody's running a stoplight, the dog has to know to disobey and not carry that person into front of the traffic. So, and even with search and rescue dogs, they need to tell the person, even when the handler thinks that they should be doing something else, oh, no, I have it right. And in hide and seek, there are actual times where September has to remind herself, I have to trust the dog. The dog knows. And, of course, the dog's going to have bad days. The very opening of hide and seek, it's Christmas time. There is a Christmas tree in the living room where the cat is teasing the dog, and the dog is chasing the cat around, and they take the Christmas tree down. Well, that's normal cat and dog behavior. And so, you know, the dog gets kicked out of the house for, you know, causing all kinds of mayhem. So he's not super dog. The cat is not super cat. They are normal animals being, you know, doing exactly what animals do, you know, baptizing the furniture or scratching, whatever. But there's this new dimension where you get to see why they're doing the things that they're doing. Dogs and cats never do something without a reason. We may think that they are being bad or they're disobeying, but they always have a very, very good reason. So this is a way for us to peek behind the curtains and see what mechanisms going on between those furry ears.
Yeah, and see, and I have a couple cats, two dogs, and my cats are crazy. One of my cats, literally just crazy. The other one is so skittish, she's kind of afraid of everything. And then the other cat likes to torture the other one and hide whenever she comes out of the litter box and then pounce on her. And I'm like, what is the purpose of this? It's like, are you doing it just to mess with her? I'm like, why do you torture this poor animal? And so, and I think,
oh, because it's
part, so
fun.
Like, yeah.
It's fun. And I told you before we went on air, I have this new kitten, and he's about 10 months old. His name's Karma, because
right,
he showed up, and, you know. And the old kitty I have, she's 17, and she's weighs 6 pounds. She's a teeny, teeny little thing.
Wow.
And she does not, she's 17, she does not want to play. Well, the kitten wants to play, so he sneaks up on her, pops her on her tail, and then runs like crazy. And, of course, she's, you know, her head spinning around. She's doing the whole exorcist routine. And the kitten thinks it's great fun. So dogs and cats never do anything unless there is a benefit for them. So you just have to figure out what's the benefit. If the other cat is pouncing on the other one and maybe you're yelling at him, well, maybe that's an attention and maybe that's part of the game, too, is you're rewarding it in some way. They're great at getting what they want.
Yeah, and they are great. They are great at doing that. I mean, whether or not it's running out of the house or doing whatever. And I'm just like, I just don't understand that. But I want to remind everybody that we're speaking here with author Amy Sojai, and it's Sojai.com. So just Sojai.com for a lot more information. And the one thing, of course, that people are going to notice, and there's always the level of believability. I always like to make sure, you know, to talk with authors that have that background. You know, I don't talk to doctors who do legal thrillers, or I don't talk to lawyers who, you know, try to write political thrillers because they might not still have the background. But your background, of course, with animals has been, you know, for a very, very, very long time. How did you kind of decide to get into that field, and how are you able to use your expertise in your writing?
Yeah, in dog years, I should be dead. I was a vet tech. I worked for veterinarians for a number of years and started my writing career with what I call the pet press, writing for some of the dog and cat magazines about my personal experience, stories at the vet. They had the dog that escaped out of the clinic onto the roof. We got a call at 2 a.m. There's a dog on your roof, and it was not a joke. Those mm-hmm. kinds of things, or, you know, the medical aspects. I have 27 nonfiction dog and cat pet books out there, everything from first aid for your pets to animal behavior to chicken soup books. I was an editor on two of the chicken soup for pets books. So, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I love pets. I love dogs and cats. I live with a zoo. But when I first started my writing career, I wanted to write fiction. I really did. And some of the first queries I sent out, I sent a fiction proposal and sample chapters to an agent that I really liked that I had met at a conference, and she sent me a very nice note back saying, "I'm sorry, I don't do young adult," which, of course, now sounds silly, but it was a young adult horror, and now it would probably sell. But she said, "I see your background in animals and nonfiction. If you ever want to do that, contact me." And we ended up doing like 15 books together. She was a very high-powered agent. We had a wonderful time with that. And then, as you know, John, publishing has kind of changed in the past several years.
Oh, yeah,
just a little bit. So, and with some of the nonfiction books that I tend to write are very prescriptive, very how-to. You know, here's how you fix it. Well, today people go to the Internet for that, so I'm writing... For puppiesabout.com is also my site. Everything on that is written by me, and that's something free people can go to for dog advice. But because they're going there, the nonfiction books kind of went by the wayside, and I thought, you know, this is the perfect opportunity to try my hand at fiction. And I'd always wanted to read a book that had a good dog viewpoint. There are very few of them out there. James Rollins does a mm-hmm. great job with his new series, and I'm a huge fan of his. He gave me some wonderful cover quotes for these books. But Lost and Found was the book that I always wanted to read, and so I wrote that book, and then I had already had a relationship with Bob Mayer and Jen Talty at Cool Gus Publishing for they helped me bring back the nonfiction backlist. And so I approached them first with Lost and Found, and it was the first original, other than Bob's fiction, it was the first original fiction book that they published for me. And as a result of that, I became a ITW debut writer.
Right.
And it's been a roller coaster ride since then, trying to find time to do everything. I mean, I have to write this because I'm on assignment, but I want to write the fiction. I need to get back to the fiction. So it's wonderful when you're almost too busy to breathe, but it's a challenge too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we talked a little off the air, just like you said, you finish the first book, Lost and Found, and you're like, "Oh no, wait a second! I got to do a second one." Okay.
Yes.
So the journey between one and two has just been something that you've never experienced before. I mean, you really only experience it one time. So how have you been able to kind of handle that pressure when you were going from Lost and Found now to Hide and Seek?
It was tough, actually. Steve Barry gave a wonderful talk at the debut Authors Breakfast last year about second book-itis, and it was very inspiring for me. And I had already started work on Hide and Seek, but I was kind of stuck thinking, because Lost and Found, I spent 3 or 4 years from the the first version and writing it and working through it. I think that's the case with a number of debut authors, is that first book you take so long. You may have written others that won't ever see the light of day, but that one, you take time, you publish, it may be over a period of years, and now Hide and Seek, I had to write it much more quickly, because in our business, as you know, if you get a little traction with one book, then your fans, when is the second one coming out? And as soon as the second one's out, they read it, well, when's the third one coming out? And, you know, you can only write so fast, and thank goodness, I do write very fast. I know exactly what the story is Show and Tell, which is the third one. It's just finding the time to actually get it done. And what I'm going to have to do is just start saying no. I was blogging my own personal blog 3 times a week, and I finally, about a month ago, said, look, you know, I can't do this anymore, and I'm only blogging 1 day a week. But there are only 24 hours in the day.
There are, and you got to sleep at least some of them.
Some of them, and then on, you know, brain candy on top of that, I'm doing Shakespeare in the Park this summer. So we're doing that in the evenings, which is, you know, I love Shakespeare. You learn so much about language and pacing and timing and all of that from looking at theater. So I do a lot of different things. It's kind of difficult for me to say, no, I have to stop everything and do just this, but that's the challenge that I have to face.
And now you mentioned your blog, and I want to let everybody know here that your blog is called Bling Bitches and Blood Blog, and you can find that, of course, on your website. So what exactly, you know, what are kind of the themes that you're talking about? Is it more non-fictional things about animals? Do you like to get into, you know, other kind of subjects? What will people notice when they do go on there to visit that?
They can go there, and they can. The direct link is just amyshujai.com. But yes, they can get through shujai.com. There's a link there as well, and it's probably focused mostly on nonfiction, cat and dog behavior care issues. But I used to do a weekly Monday Mentions roundup. They had a lot of publishing and writing information, and also links to other blogs and other articles about animal behavior and training. I think right now you will see an interview that my cat, the kitten Karma, did with the dog that's in the Shakespeare play that I'm in right now. Very upset that why is there a dog in it and not a cat? So there are some kind of fun things there also. The bling part of it comes from, I love bling. Right now I'm wearing a gigantic topaz ring and a silver cuff bracelet with a lion's family sculpted onto it. So that's kind of part of my brand. So I had to put the bling part in there. And, of course, the blood is all the thrillers. And I do share my thoughts about thriller writing. Every once in a while, for both of these books, actually, I have a Name That Dog and Name That Cat contest for readers to suggest names of cat and dog characters to be in the book. And then they are mentioned, there's a little bio about the dog or the cat that's mentioned. In Hide and Seek, there is a dog that works in an Alzheimer's unit. And based on the people that won that contest, the dog's name is that real dog's name, and it turns out that dog is a service dog, and she described what her dog did, and so the whole character of that dog was based on the reader telling me about her dog. So that's a fun thing, and that'll be coming up probably in the next month or so, a Name That Dog or Name That Cat for the Show and Tell book that's coming up.
Well, we only got about a minute and a half or so left here, so can you give everybody a little bit about, where you're going to be, what you kind of have coming up blog tour-wise, contact information, all those kinds of fun things that, you know, people can, you know, stay in touch with you and get more information about things.
Absolutely. Well, if they go to shujai.com, all of the stops on the blog tour are listed right there on the front page. As you said, Suspense Magazine, Blog Talk Radio, right what we're doing now is the very first stop. Tomorrow which is June 2nd, there is an interview with Lori's Thoughts and Reviews, her blog. And a lot of these blogs are going to have giveaways as well, so you do need to check this out because you can get a free pawtographed copy of Hide and Seek.
And that's very interesting. I mean, so who's going to sign it?
Oh, well, I would sign it, but probably, on behalf of Shadow and Macy the cat. Oh, and then, of course, I will also be at Thriller Fest this year, and I'm going to be one of the moderators for one of the panels, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be at Thriller Fest this year, too.
Oh, good.
We'll be there this year, too. So this is, I think, our fifth Thriller Fest. It's always a great event, so, yeah, it's great to – so we'll have to – and I was at the debut breakfast last year. I was filling in for somebody, and so – I was there, and it was a great time, and I remember Steve talking.
Yes, and I was the one that wore the bunny slippers with teeth.
That's right. I do remember the bunny slippers now.
That was kind of an ongoing joke among the debut authors, because we corresponded a great deal up to that event, and I kept saying, well, I just have to sit down and put on my bunny slippers and write the dang book. And so they all started to say, well, you've got to bring your bunny slippers. And so, my feet were the most comfortable ones in the whole room.
They probably were, because I'll tell you, that was a hot flipping day, too. I remember that day. And, boy, it was hot, hot, hot outside. So, yeah.
It really was.
Well, I'll tell you what, Amy, we want to thank you so much for coming on and, always enjoying to hear the background about your books and everything else you got going on. So thank you so much. Wish you nothing but the best on the tour coming up and, sell a million copies.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, John, and I'll see you in July.
Yeah, about 6 weeks away. We will meet again.
All right. Thanks so much. Everybody go pet your pets for me.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to take the crazy one outside, though. But all right. You have a good one, Amy. Take it easy. So, again, everybody, that is author Amy Sojai, S-H-O-J-A-I. You can find out a lot more information by going to her website, sojai.com, for her latest book in her series. It is called Hide and Seek. The first book was called Lost and Found. ITW member, great author, great premise. I mean, something that everybody says, they look for different. They want different thrillers. They want different things. This is something that falls right into that category. So it's definitely one that you want to keep an eye out for, take a peek, go check it out, and like we said, we wish you nothing but the best. So until next time, I think we have a Suspense Radio one-on-one next weekend. You can always check the site. We will have things updated as they come in. And Suspense Radio will be back on next Saturday. Check out Strangers of Fiction, Crime and Science Radio episode was up. The Yorker was on yesterday. So you've got a lot of things going on. There's no reason why you just can't sit here and spend a couple hours with us on Suspense Radio and enjoy everything we got going on. So, everybody, until next time, again, we want to thank you all for listening to us wherever, whenever, and however you listen. Thank you so much. We will talk with you all later. Enjoy.